to Vegas, which was, I wouldn't say a shit show, because I've been on trips where it was an absolute shit show. Vegas was very calm, but fun at the same time. I went with my childhood best friend, who is very laxed. She's not like a crazy psychotic bitch. So we, and she was with her boyfriend. Not that that's a bad thing, but we were all together, and I was kind of, I wasn't the third wheel. I never feel like the third wheel with them. They've been together so long, and like, we're all great friends. But it was definitely one of those trips where I stopped dancing in Vegas in 2022, September of 2022. It's been almost 2 years, okay? And I've only been there two, maybe three times since I quit. I think two times since I quit. Three times, actually. Sorry, just kidding. I've been there three times since I quit. And every time I've ever gone back, I was always so tempted to go and work. Now, mind you, I have two businesses that do really well. I'm doing better in all aspects of life, opposed to when I was dancing. But there's something about it, and I talk about it all the time, and people are probably so fucking tired of me talking about it, right? But there's something about the quick hustle of dancing that is just so addicting. Like, when you're there and when you have your days off, you're like, oh, fuck this. Like, I want to go do something else. I'm going to work towards something else, which is what you do. But then when you're actually away from it, it just is so different. I remember there was girls that were waitresses or bottle girls in some of the clubs that I worked at that were trying to transition into dancing. And they talked about how much they hated waitressing, how much they hated being bottle girls. And I remember one of the girls, it was like her last day. And she's like, I can't wait for today to be over so I can dance like next week. And I was like, well, if this is really going to be your last day and you're never going to do waitressing or bottle service again, especially in this club, you might as well enjoy your last day, because you're not going to get it again. Even if it's something that you don't like, you're never going to get these moments again. So when I was dancing, I just remember like trying to be as present as possible and being so grateful multiple nights. Like, I'm so grateful that I get the opportunity to literally live in my youth and be able to experience something to this caliber, regardless of the money. The experience alone has shaped my personality and my confidence and just who I am beyond what I could have even expected, which I will forever be grateful for. And like I said, whenever I would go back to Vegas, I would always be like, damn, like, I really was tempted to go back and work just to fucking do it. But I always have to bring myself back and put myself in like a different mindset, like take myself out of the equation. So, for example, my mom has had, but I feel like even if you had a previous addiction, you always say that you're an addict, right? Like, that's what they teach in Anonymous, like Alcohol Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous. So my mom, she was a gambling addict. And one of the things that they teach you is like, even if you feel like you've, you know, left that life and you've recovered, I feel like even though I've left that life and I've recovered, you always have that temptation to go back just because you enjoy it. Like, an alcoholic probably loves drinking, but they know it's probably not going to be the best thing for them if they go back and do it again or relapse or whatever, right? So for me, I'm like, I always have to think about, okay, where am I right now? And what would going back and doing that do for me? Like, what would it actually, what type of purpose would it serve? And I've been saying this a lot too. And this goes for careers. It goes for relationships. It goes for, you know, if I was to go dance again, nothing is ever the same the second time around. Like, everything is different, right? Like, it's never as good the second time around, period. So when I'm considering, oh, maybe getting back with that ex is a good idea, maybe giving that guy another chance is a good idea, how bad can it be? But then you think about it and you're like, fuck, it's never the same the second time around. What's different between Rachel and Ruby? And when you first asked that question, I'm almost like, I think about myself right now, right? I wouldn't even say that Ruby and Rachel are that different. I would say that when I'm dancing, my mindset is way different. Like, I know I'm just trying to get to the bag, but I've taken so much from, like, when I say get to the bag, I mean like my intention that night when I'm talking to an individual is to get their money. Like, that is the intention, right? But I don't think that's necessarily, it sounds harsh when you say it, like, I'm just trying to get their money. But when you actually think about it, that's what everyone's trying to do, no matter what, like, especially business owners or people in sales or whatever. Like, you're just trying to get, not that the intentions are bad, but you're just trying to get whatever they can offer, right? Especially in that type of scenario. So like even in Vegas, the hosts that are running these clubs that are selling these booths, they're just trying to get your money so they can get a commission. You know what I mean? So, but what I loved most about what I did was the fact that I got to be myself. Like I felt like I could literally say anything to anyone to an extent. I could literally be as goofy as I wanted, as silly as I wanted. I could literally be anyone I wanted. I lied multiple times and said I went to UCLA. I said I graduated from UCLA. I told people my parents went to prison for murder. Like I've said some crazy shit. Like I've literally gone off the wall, guys. Like because it's fucking hilarious. Like these people are always gonna remember that. They're probably gonna go home and be like, oh my God, I met a girl that both of her parents are in jail for murder. Like it's fucking insane. Like I just try to think about like, how can I make this fun? How can I have a great time? And I loved how it really wasn't that serious, but I feel like that side of Ruby, I have carried it with me in my personal life, and I do feel like I am still that goofy person that likes to just go out and be silly, and you know what I mean? But I've transferred like the confidence, I've transferred the skills, I've transferred all of that. I would say Rachel and Ruby aren't necessarily different. I would say the settings and where I am, I'm always going to be different depending on the situation. So for example, business Rachel is different from personal Rachel, or family Rachel is different from friend Rachel, or, you know, work Rachel or whatever. Relationship Rachel is different than work Rachel. You know, it's just, it's all different things, but I wouldn't say Ruby, the only difference really between like me dancing and me not is I was always looking for some money. I'm like, shit, if we're gonna go out, I hope we meet some daddies, like sheesh, you know? But like, for example, if me and my girls would potentially take off of work, or we would wanna go and do something fun opposed to going in and working on a hot night, we would probably be like, hopefully we can find someone tonight type shit to pay for our night. So I remember this one time, I went to the McGregor and Poirier fight where McGregor broke his leg. And me and my girl, we went in super last minute. We got fucking floor seats to the fight. It was like, it actually wasn't that bad. Like the UFC 300 fight that I just got back from, the tickets for that were more expensive than the one with the floor seats actually. But anyways, I digress. So we go to that one and it's me and my girl and we're like dressed up. We're, you know, we're excited for the fight. We end up sitting next to two plastic surgeons from Texas. And one of them, she was way more unhinged than me. Like she is like, she gives off such a sexual energy, and to where I in an extent, I'm like still the same. I'm like goofy, funny. Like it's always worked for me, like just being myself and just having a good time. But obviously when it comes down to like, okay, let's talk about the money, like I'll flirt and you know, whatever. But at the same time, like I'm not gonna, one thing I could not do is I could not fake shit. Like a lot of people would fake it till they got whatever they wanted out of it. For me, I'll still be honest. I'll still flirt with you, but there's only an extent to where that'll go. You know what I mean? But she gave off a way better sexual energy. So she was really good at like getting the guys to kind of fall into her hands. And then I would be the one whispering in their ear, okay, let's talk about payment. I mean, she'll be over there like stroking their egos, stroking them, like, you know, making them feel good. And I'd be over there like, that'll be $5,000. So literally these guys were like, oh, what are you doing tonight? We're like, well, we're going to actually go to work, but we would love to hang out with you guys instead. Why don't you just take care of us so that way we don't have to go to work? So that's how usually we would end up getting like guys that were out on vacation that just wanted to like hang out with us all night because we were a good vibe. So we would just give them a price and then they would pay us. You know what I mean? And one thing I would say, like if you're a girl watching this and like you're trying to get on that type of time, never wait for the payment. Like never wait. Never, if they say, oh, I'll pay you later. No. Payment up front, at least a good amount of it up front. And then that way you can kind of like progress to the night. And then maybe see if they'll give you more. Like if you guys go gambling, they'll give you some chips, like whatever it is. I mean, depending on where you are. But yeah, so Ruby is more money focused. Not that I'm not now. It's just such a different hustle there. Now in my life, I just send invoices or I collect payouts. Like, it's so fucking boring, you know? Like, the other shit is just, it's a thrill. It's a rush. It's exciting. So I've even told myself I need to find another outlet to be able to kind of give me that feeling. Because I feel like a lot of the times what I've been doing to get that feeling and to bring myself back into the nightlife or to the, like, excitement of meeting new people and having fun conversations is going out. And because I live in the same city and I'm not traveling and it's not constantly tourists coming in and new people all the time, it's the same people all the time, which I still love being around people and being social. But to a certain extent, it gets to a point where it's like, fuck, like, what else, you know? So I've been trying to find, like, different ways to meet new people and do different activities and put myself in different surroundings. But yeah, it's very interesting. So I went to UFC 300 with literally my best friend since third grade and her boyfriend. She wanted, I fucking, bro, why am I following up with this girl more than she's following up with herself for her birthday? Like, I remember I followed up with her like 3 months in advance. I was like, bro, your birthday's coming up. What are we doing? Like, what are we doing? Because last year, the year before, we went to Scottsdale. And then this year, she had called me like a month before and she was like, hey, I don't know how you're gonna feel about this, but what do you think about Vegas? I'm like, fuck yeah, I love Vegas. Like, I love Vegas. She was like, I really want to go to UFC 300. I had no idea what UFC 300 was. I'm like, who's fighting? Like, who's the main, you know, people? And then she had named the names and I didn't fucking know. Hiller, Pereira. Anyways, it's the guy that won. He ended up fucking winning. So I didn't know them, but she was like, this is a huge event. Like, this is a 300th UFC event. Like, it's going to be fucking insane, la, la, la. So I said, okay. So one of my best friends who used to be, like, the top host out there, he moved away. But he, like, is plugged in with everybody. Like, every fucking soul that you could think of, he knows. So he was like, let me put you on to the UFC ticketing person. So because we obviously wanted good seats. The tickets were fucking insane, first of all. Like, more than you could even imagine for, like, a courtside game. Or, like, floor seats to watch McGregor on I wouldn't say a small card, but, like, a big fight. Like, the Poirier fight and the McGregor fight that I went to with floor seats was less than this ticket, okay? Anyways, so then the tickets were costing that we were looking at. So where we were looking, it was, like, a few grand just to, like, sit in, like, the mid-tier. I'm like, the fuck? Like, how big is this event? I started looking at the cards. I'm like, I don't know any of these fucking people. Me, personally, don't come for me. Anyways, so my friend puts me on to, like, this ticketing person, and they end up saying, hey, we'll get you these tickets for this price, which was literally like a third of what we were being quoted. It was amazing. And then we also had access to this lounge where we could, like, go up and get drinks, and it's just better than, like, going out and having, like, fucking stand in line and shit. Anyways, so we went to that. It was lit. There was Max Crosby was there. He plays for the Raiders. Fucking Nelk Boys, you know, like Happy Dad founders. Also a fake Donald Trump. There was like a guy dressed up as Donald Trump. It was fucking hilarious. Oh my God, Mark Zuckerberg was there. Y'all didn't see that? It was going viral. Mark Zuckerberg, you know, Facebook guy, he was there. He was in the front row next to Dana White. It was fucking hilarious. You see his face like half the time. It's so hilarious. Anyways, so he was there. Who else was there? Hella fighters, obviously. There was a good amount of people. It was cool. So we go and we're sitting. We have great seats. Super exciting. Every single person that my best friend and her boyfriend, every single person that they wanted to win or that they had money on had lost. Like, every single person. It got to the point where that guy, Calavera, what's his first name? Oliver? Charles Oliveira. I think that's his last name, right? Okay, he fucking lost, which I had a feeling he was going to lose too. That's what I'm saying. They wanted him to win. She was wearing a whole fucking shirt with his face on it. I said, bitch, he's about to lose. Watch. He fucking lost. And then next up was Max Holloway and Justin Gaethje. And everyone's like, Justin Gaethje's going to win. I saw Max Holloway walk in, not even into the fight yet. He walked into the building with his wife or his girlfriend or whatever. I was like, bro, this man's coming for, like, blood. Like, he's gonna win. Like, I don't know what it was, but every single person I wanted to win won. It was just something about their demeanor, like something about the way that they carried themselves when they even walked into the stadium. Like, when he walked into the building, he looked savage, but then when he walked out to the fight, I was like, bro, I don't know why people are going for Gaethje right now. Like, he's about to win. I don't even have to know their history. Like, this guy's gonna win. They're like, he has to be able to get him into, like, a headlock, or he needs. Bro, there was this fucking guy sitting next to me. he was cool. He was cool, right? He looked a little nerdy. And then he was, I'm just giving you context, okay? So he looked a little nerdy and he was sitting next to me and he was like, yeah, 20 years ago, I was down there. I was like, oh, cool, bro. Cool, cool. So then when he was like, when people were fighting, he was like, get him. Oh, good punch. Good la, la, la. He's like talking, like commentating this whole thing. And I'm kind of living for it. I'm like liking it. I'm like, okay, tell me more about that. Like, what is that? You know, because they do all these different types of martial arts. Like, there's so much. I'm like, boxing is still a super hard sport, right? But it's boxing. You don't have to get people on the ground. You don't have to know how to choke them out and shit. You don't have to know all these different positions. But there's these other like UFC fighters that come from wrestling backgrounds. They have to know jiu-jitsu. They have to know like all these karate. I don't fucking know, dude. Like, this, I'm like, they know everything. Like, it's so tough. Like, that's such a tough sport. So anyway, I was like, he was talking about like, oh, the only way Max Holloway is going to win is if he gets him in on the ground or something. And I'm like, okay. So then literally the whole fight's going on. Like, neither of them really get onto the ground or anything. They're just like, you know, punching it out or like whatever. And everyone's like, KJ. I'm like, nah, bro, Holloway's going to take it. Like, I felt confident the whole time. I had no idea they were going to end it the last 10 seconds the way that they did. I didn't expect that. But when that shit happened, I said, I should have my money on Holloway, facts. Because I don't even bet. But that shit, I was like, he's definitely probably one of my favorite fighters. Just because, I don't know. He was an underdog for sure. But you knew he was going to come out on top. At least I did. So I was like, I felt good about that bet. That imaginary bet. And then from there, it was just like Hill and then Pereira, whatever. That was fucking weak as fuck. I was so annoyed that that fight went the way that it did. Literally less than a minute in, this guy fucking knocks him out, finishes him, whatever they call it. And I was like, damn. But you know what's funny is a lot of the fighters, and I could be wrong, we might have to fact check this, but a lot of the fighters that fought were like in their 30s. They were older, maybe late 20s. And I was like, you know what? If all else fails in anyone's life, become a fighter. No, don't become a fighter. Is he saying no? Okay, you know what's funny? My ex called me today, my very first ex from college. Him and I were just catching up on FaceTime. And he was like talking about, oh, like, did you see the fight? So why are you surprised? It's my bestie. My exes and I, bro, we're locked in. Like, these are my homies. Like, people have really bad relationships with their exes most of the time. Huh? No, these are my besties. We're locked in. It depends. Okay, so a lot of people think it's weird, right? A lot of people think it's a red flag. If I ever do have a man in the future, I'm obviously going to distance myself. It's not like I talk to these fucking dudes, like, every day. But we still catch up. Like, we still check on each other. There was love there. There still is love there. So, and we're, like, best friends. Like, both of the exes that I've had, they were, like, my best friends. So, it's always good to know how they're doing. But him and I were catching up, and he was talking about the fights or whatever. I was like, well, hey, if all else fails, you can just become a fighter. But he really does have hands, though. So, that's why I was like, you could become a fighter. Like, I know he likes to box and shit. But I was just thinking, because I'm like, these people are older. Like, it's never too late, you know? But then Stephanie, my best friend, she heard me say that when we were at the fight. And she's like, yeah, but these people have been training forever. So I'm like, don't come for me. Okay, I'm just saying, like, they are older. So I'm like, if you start now, you can probably fucking get up to a pretty good level by the time you're fucking 40. Just saying. I'm just saying. Anyways. People will be fine until they're 50 now. Yeah, people, look at, that's, I mean, crazy. Yeah. There are people fighting, like Charles Oliveira, bro. He's fucking up there. What is he, like 40? Anyway, I know one of the girls that lost the female fight, not the second to last one, like before the main card, but the other one with the two blondes, the one that lost was like 42. I was like, yeah. I was like, okay. But you know what? That same girl, she had knocked out Ronda Rousey. She's been around that long. Yes. We're talking about Floyd Mayweather being 47 years old. He's a boxer, and he just... and how he still fights. That's what my friend said. And Izzy said he's fighting YouTubers, which, yeah, he is fighting YouTubers. But so is Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is, how old is he? Fucking like 62 or something? He's like 68. We're fact checking it. To prove your point, Jake Paul just... exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, Jake Paul and Logan Paul, both of the brothers. And not that this is going to get like a million views or anything. Don't come for me. But they both, I hope it gets a million views, Izzy. But anyways, both of the brothers recently started fighting and like training for fights after having a long YouTube career. And now they're fighting fucking Mike Tyson. Floyd, one of them fought Floyd Mayweather. They're probably going to fight Haney soon. Fucking the Tank. Like, they're going to fight all these big fighters, like, one of these days. Like, it's going to happen just because they're very controversial. And I think that's also one of the things. But, 57. Mike Tyson is 50 fucking 7 years old fighting a 26-year-old, probably. He's probably 26 because he's, like, my age. But, yeah, shit's crazy. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, fuck. All else fails, become a fighter. I even told a guy that I was fucking with. I was like, he didn't really know what he was doing. I was like, bro, you like to fight? You like to put your hands on people? Go become a fighter. Not on me, but on like other men. So like, go fight. Go fight. Go make a career out of it. Go do something, bro. You know, like make something of yourself. I'm really roasting these motherfuckers. No, I'm just kidding.
Have you seen Mike Tyson with his tigers? Mm-mm.
Okay, this is gonna be. Rachel reacts. Does he have a video? Do you have a video? No. Not the Speedo. Or the Haneys. Wait, isn't that what they call a Haney? Haynes. That'd be funny if, like, Mike Tyson and Haney fought. And then there's, like, a meme saying, like, look, Mike Tyson's wearing Devin Haney. Isn't his name Devin? I don't fucking know. That's funny. Bro, this man really has tigers. What the fuck?
Do you know the story behind it?
No, what's the story?
Let me just pull it up so that he was in prison, right?
Who was?
Mike. Here,
what was Mike Tyson in prison for?
Bro.
For ripping someone's ear off? We're going to react. Rachel reacts. I like my ghost. No, I literally, hold on, before I do that. Look, I'm not sponsored by them, but let me tell you something. Everyone's like, oh my God, ghost is like crack. I've literally, I'm not going to say I've never had crack, but I've had ghost before. And a couple weeks ago, me and my friends were at this little after party type thing. And I just pulled out a ghost from this guy's fridge. Like, right? I'm like, he's not going to trip, bro. Like, I'll give him fucking $5 if he wants it, whatever. Anyway, I pull it out and they're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Those ghosts, you're going to be up forever. La, la, la. I'm like, bro, I've literally had one of these before. Everyone was like going crazy. I was like, this man's fridge is literally filled with ghosts. I think he'll be okay. He'll probably be, it'll be better for him if I take one. Because these are a lot of fucking ghosts right here. Anyways, I digress. What am I doing? Rachel reacts, where we react to Mike Tyson talking about his jail stories. All right, ready?
When you're 20 years old and all of a sudden you're the heavyweight champion of the world, just a few years ago you were poor, and now all of a sudden you're the king of the world.
That's really crazy. You know, so young, it's really crazy. I was unable to handle it. I wasn't expecting that. That was a really sucker punch right there.
Charlie Murphy.
That's a real sucker punch right there. I wasn't ready for that one.
Charlie Murphy told us a story, and it's animated. It's on YouTube now. Of you and him coming over your house in a limousine, and you had a, was it a lion or a tiger?
Tiger. See, he must have been a lion, but yeah, the tiger.
Dude.
It is one of the craziest fucking stories.
I always, when, so for people that don't know, I got to hang out with you at one of my shows one time, and it was a great, I had the best time talking to you about everything. What made you think you could get a tiger? Like, how did that even happen?
He only had one.
Hey, I'm in, this is right? Really interesting. I'm in prison at the time. So I'm in prison, I'm talking to my car dealer at the time, and he has some cars that belong to a friend of mine that's both a friend of ours, and he's discussing if he doesn't pay for these cars, I'm going to sell these cars to somebody and get some horses and stuff. I said, what, you can get horses and trade horses in for cars? Because I had a lot of cars. So I said, I'll probably get some horses too. And he said, yeah, man, you get cougars, lions, tigers. I know this guy got exotic. I said, you do? Can you get me some tigers? He said, yeah. And the guy told me, and the guy said, man, imagine how cool that'd be. You'd be, because I had a bunch of fans. Because imagine that, man, you'd be in an Aston Martin or a Ferrari, and you have a tiger right next to you, man. That would be so awesome. And I'm a young guy. I'm saying to myself, wow, that would be cool, right? I said, yeah, get me some cubs, man. Oh, and then when I came home, I had those cubs right there waiting for me.
Cubs. So you raised them as cubs?
Yeah.
Because that's how cubs, you were, because I would see footage of you.
That makes sense, though. Like, if you raise them as cubs, maybe they won't eat you when they get grown. But that's fucking great. I heard he likes doves and no, pigeons. He likes pigeons. You guys didn't know that he's like Birdman. Bro, that's a thing. He really likes pigeons. But no, that's fucking great. What was he in jail for? I bet nobody fucked with him. I bet not a soul. Maybe people tried, though. Tried to, like, you know, mess with them for fun. But Izzy's really fact checking. Okay, so Theo Vaughn and like Logan Paul, they have like, or whatever, they have like screens, and then you can see them typing in the shit. You know what I'm talking about? Where they're like searching up like to confirm. Anyway, that's something to think about. Huh? Yeah, period. Anyways. But yeah, no, they're, and they say that too, like animals will sometimes turn on their owner. Like even fuck a cat, okay? Fuck a fucking tiger. There was a guy raising a bunch of like pit bulls in really shitty conditions in LA, and all the pit bulls like turned on him and they fucking ate him, bro. Like imagine Remy, my English bulldog, trying to eat me. Like, could you guys imagine? A bunch of English bulldogs trying to eat a fucking human. Hell no. That shit's crazy, bro. Insane. So when I was in Vegas, like I said, this was like the first trip where I wasn't fiending to go be a stripper. Okay. I was literally just like enjoying my time, but there's something about me. I literally don't know what it is. And I've been trying to work on it. I even wrote this note. I deleted it, but like I put it at the top of my to-do list. It was just like a note there to remind myself, because I look at my to-do list every day. And it just said like, regardless of where you are mentally and what is going on or what's happened, you can't change whatever, like, you can't control, basically. It's like, you can't change the past. Be where you are, enjoy yourself, be unapologetically you, and do your best to live in the moment, basically. Because I have such a hard time whenever I go on a vacation or a trip or something, that I'm constantly thinking about like what I should be doing and how I'm not where I'm supposed to be, or I really want this but I don't have it. Like, I'm always thinking about like less things that I don't have, or ways that I can get more. And this trip, I was really trying to be present in the moment and just enjoy myself. But I can't help the fact that I'm constantly thinking, like, why do I continue to go on these fucking trips, bro? Like, for me, I had a great time. I'll never regret that. I'm so grateful. And it was for my best friend. I really wouldn't do that for a lot of people. Like, I wouldn't do that. Like, I got invited to this Memorial Day weekend thing next month in Vegas with people that I'm friends with, but like not really good friends with. And I'm just like, I'm definitely not going to that. Like, I know what I'm not going to go to, but people that are really like close to me that I want to be there for, of course I'm going to go. Of course I'm going to try to do that. But at the same time, I was feeling so weird mentally and like down. And I ended up writing a reflection when I got home this week, which was, I think, like on Tuesday. I had written a reflection, and I haven't written a reflection until the end of last year. I used to write them every time I worked. Like, every time after work, I would write a reflection about the night, how much I made, how it went, how I can do better, la la la. Because so much shit happens. Like, so many conversations, so many situations, so many people. Now, I still interact with people, but I spend a lot more time alone. Like, I'm in the office alone, I'm dealing with clients and stuff, but obviously I'm not venting to my clients. I'm not having actual, like, strip club interactions with my clients like I would with a human, you know? We're not having deep conversations. So, I didn't really feel the need as much to write a reflection, but I haven't written a reflection since the end of last year, just kind of about, like, how 2023 went and la, la, la. But so much has happened this year. These last 4 months, there's been a shit ton of shit, okay? And I ended up just writing a reflection because I was really like in a weird mental space where I said, I basically, my reflection was about how I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I am not doing the things that I know I should be doing. And I was like, I'm going to write down a list of all the shit I'm bad at, like all the shit that I'm doing wrong, all the things I don't do enough. And my list, I thought I was going to, I promise you, I right hand to the Bible, okay? I thought I was going to write a list of like 20 plus things, okay? That's what I thought I was going to do. And then I was going to be like, how can I do this better? How can I be better? It was literally three things. And I wouldn't say even these are big things. One of them was, I don't read enough. That's what I said. I don't read enough. And I don't spend enough time with my dad. That's what I said, because my dad lives 20 minutes away. So I don't spend enough time with my dad. I don't read enough. And then I think the other thing was like, I've been going out too much or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I thought this was going to be a long list. I do need to get better at those things. I do need to fix those things. But I literally was like, bro, I know what I need to do. fuck this reflection. I literally wrote, fuck this reflection. I'm gonna get to work. And then the next morning I woke up at like fucking 6:30 and I was like, let's go to the gym. Like, and I've been doing this stuff. Like, I have certain things that like rules in place. Like, I have to do this this many times a week. I need to, like, just to be able to keep myself in a good space where I feel like, you know, I'm progressing and I know what works for me. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't do it consistently enough. And I have a schedule, but my schedule can vary when I really should just be, you know, when like you have a bunch of shit that you're supposed to do, but you almost like are like, ah, well, this isn't as important. I'll just move it to tomorrow. Then you move it to the next day. Then you move it to the next day. Then you move it to the next day. And I'm like, bro, I'm literally playing with, I don't want to say I'm playing with myself. I'm literally, I'm playing about me. Like, I shouldn't play about me. Because no one's going to come and save me. Like, no one's going to come and save me. And I don't expect shit from anyone. So if I don't expect anything from anyone and no one's going to come and save me, what am I going to do? I have to go get it done. And I haven't been doing that enough. I've been uncomfortable but comfortable. Like, I'm uncomfortable with how comfortable I am. Even though I don't even feel like I'm comfortable, but clearly I am because I'm having these feelings. But I think that's normal too, is when you're going through life, you're going to have times where there's highs and lows, but you don't have to act how you feel. If you feel shitty, you don't have to act shitty. You know what I mean? And that's another thing that I learned too. I was listening to Layla Hormozi when I was on my drive back, and she was just talking about, and you know, her and Alex Hormozi are like the fucking biggest thing in the world right now. And I try to pick and choose what I watch from them just because it does. I'm not into like, not that they do the rah-rah, like they don't do the rah-rah motivation. I wouldn't say that they do that. But a lot of the thing, I try to pick and choose what I listen to. And one of the things that I did take with me from Layla, and I think she said this before, which is why it's probably sticking with me a little bit more now, is the season of no. So the season of no is basically saying no to a lot of things that you could do, but you choose not to, because when you say no to those things, you're actually saying yes to something else that's going to benefit you more in the long run or for your future. So that's why I was like, okay, I need to stop playing about me. Like, if I can't afford to be going out every weekend and drinking, because then I'm going to feel like shit the next day and I'm not going to get shit done. And I'm going to continue to push things off that I know could get me further in my business, towards my goals, like, to be able to accomplish the things that I've always wanted to. Because one thing I don't want to do, and I'm sure nobody else does either, is I don't want to wake up when I'm 40 and be in the same position. And the only way that you can do that is if you're constantly pushing the boundaries and expecting more from yourself. Because like I said, if you don't expect more from yourself, who do you expect to come and save you? Nobody. You know what I mean? So, period. Is that good? Okay, I think, what are we at? Fuck, bro. What? Let's get a round of applause for that fucking segment, bro. It's lit. Damn. You want to round it off? Be like, yeah. That's it for the podcast. We'll see you on the next episode of That's Gonna Cost Ya. Calm down before you stress up the groove. The energy a little different when the blessings are cruel. Hey, who you talking to? Just know